Hello, my name is Claire Cody and I work on the Our Voices programme of work at the University of Bedfordshire. Today I'm joined by Dr. Camille Warrington, who's the lead for young people's participation at the International Centre researching child sexual exploitation, violence and trafficking at the University of Bedfordshire. In this episode, Camille introduces the idea of participatory engagement and explores the different ways engagement can occur and the similar elements or principles that are present in participatory approaches. So welcome, Camille. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
That's okay. So to kick off then, as you know, the Our Voices Research and Practice Network seeks to develop a better understanding of the value and ethics of participatory engagement with young people affected by sexual violence. So could you maybe give us a quick explanation of what participatory engagement is and what it means to you?
I suppose the first thing to say is that there's, you know, lots of people have different understandings and different language to talk about it, and I think that's fine. But for me, there's a couple of key components that link all activities that we talk about in terms of the language of participation or participatory engagement. I think at the absolute core for me is a concern with power and relationships of power, and trying to challenge some of the traditional relationships of power that characterize our work in this context with young children and young people, whether that's the power that we think about in terms of welfare systems between young people using services and young people delivering services, power between politicians and members of society, or in research, the power to go out and develop knowledge and put it out there as some kind of truth or learning, and versus the power, those who don't have the power to do that, power to tell somebody's story, or the power to say your own story. So that for me is like at the absolute heart of it. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of defining participation, children, young people's participation, I definitely think the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child is a helpful place to start.
Yeah.
And particularly Article 12, which talks about children and people's right to be involved in decisions that are made that concern aspects of their lives or the communities in which they live. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's another thing that I come back to. It is about children and people's involvement in decision making. Mm. And I think more than that, it's about children's young people's opportunities to influence change through that involvement in decision making. That doesn't mean that they are necessarily always leading or making decisions, but that their views and perspectives inform the decisions that get made that affect their lives. And I think that's true when we're thinking about individual children and young people, decisions about their care and protection, but also when we think about children and people as a broader community, so at a kind of societal level. So I think they're kind of key things for me, thinking about power, thinking about children's involvement, decision making, but also about more than just decision making and being heard, and actually, is there evidence that children and people have influenced change? Because if they haven't, being heard isn't enough just on its own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think I suppose the other thing I guess I'd say is there's no perfect ideal of participation either. There's a spectrum of activities, there's a spectrum of different levels of involvement and influence that children and people have, and that'll be appropriate at different times and for different activities.
Yeah, that's great. And so in terms of that, the fact that there is this spectrum of activities, do you think that when we think about participatory engagement, it's more about how you do something rather than what you do? So it doesn't necessarily matter what the activity is, but it's the process that surrounds that.
I think that's a really interesting question. And I think it's probably a one that I probably think about. I don't know if I've got a definite answer for. I think absolutely process is really, really key. It is definitely about relationships, working relationships, mm-hmm. how we organize activities to support participatory engagement, whether our organizations support cultures of participation. So there's a lot in there about how we do things, how we communicate, mm-hmm. how we reflect on our own power as professionals or adults, and whether we're willing to let go of some of that power. So I think there's a lot about process. In terms of what you do, I think they're obviously tied up with each other, aren't they? And it's maybe hard to think about that question without specific examples. But I think I have also learned that although the process is really important, sometimes what comes out of that process can be, and what you're aiming for can be equally important. And often children and young people that I've worked with have felt the most, or have told me, fed back that they felt the most powerful when they've seen the kind of products and outputs of their work, whether that's a campaign, it's a change in somebody listening to them and taking notice and changing policy, whether it's an output of film that's been produced. And so I think it's important to recognise that kind of both the products of participatory engagement and the process can be equally important, and there's not always a clear line between them.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think there's a lot of work around kind of empowerment theory talking about whether empowerment is a process or whether it's an outcome of that process. So I guess what you're saying is it can be both in terms of working.
Yeah. And I suppose if you don't have a process that's appropriate and thinks and reflects on how you use power and how you share power or support people to access a sense of influence and control, then in some ways, yeah, you're starting with nothing. So process is absolutely fundamental, mm. I suppose. But I suppose I exactly as you say, it's acknowledging that what comes out of those processes and what you're aiming for and what you do with those processes and produce can also have its own influence and impact on individuals too.
Great. Okay, so thanks for that. You've talked a little bit obviously about the power and decision making and communication and the process. Would you say that there are other principles or elements that need to be in place to make an approach participatory? Are there some kind of key ingredients that need to be present?
Things that spring to mind for me are something about reflective practice. Mm-hmm. And again, that's whoever you are, whether you're a researcher or a community activist or a youth worker, there's something about recognizing there is no formula to get this right. There's no kind of tick list that says this is participatory, this isn't participatory. Activities can be participatory in a moment and change from one moment to the next. So, so that's why I think it is so important that we just create cultures of reflective practice, so that we're working alongside, whether we're working alongside young people and other professionals, parents, other stakeholders, we're engaged in a kind of constant dialogue about what's working, what isn't working, how things work differently for different stakeholders. And that's, for me, it's one of the joys of this work. It's a constantly learning process. So I think that is one of the key ingredients. I think linked to that is something around transparency. Mm-hmm. And I think I've probably learned this the hard way, actually, is that often I've kind of gone in really idealistically and told people and labelled the work that we're doing as participatory, told young people that they will have influence and we will listen to them. And those intentions are real, and those commitments on my part have felt very real.
Yeah.
But what I haven't taken into account is the wider context that we're working in and the wider limitations and challenges, and the fact that we have funders or other stakeholders who have their own ownership and power over what we're involved in. And that limits the decision-making, the influence that we can share with young people. And so for me, that's been a real lesson, and now one of the things I always try and make part of the work that I do at the outset is some sort of trying to be transparent and map the relationships involved in the work and map the ownership and the responsibilities and power, so that participants recognize that they're often just one part of a bigger, more complex process, and that those things impact on their influence and change. And sometimes that transparency is not just about managing expectations, it's also about supporting children and young people to recognise, okay, well, here's an opportunity for me to influence, or here's where we want to campaign, or here's where we want people to hear us. Mm. So I think that's that reflection and transparency seem to me to be really key components. And I think something just around recognising diversity, and that different stakeholders, children and people, are all individuals, different individual needs. What makes something accessible to some will be different for others. And particularly when we're working in kind of groups, whether they're face-to-face or virtual, recognising that diversity of need and being able to kind of respond flexibly to it. Mm-hmm. I guess that's another thing around flexibility, is something that needs to be in place.
Great. Thank you for those insights. They're really helpful in thinking about some of the wider context, particularly in terms of what we need to think about and not be too, not that there's anything wrong with being too idealistic, but being aware of those kind of different powers that are operating in those spaces. So what are some of the things that researchers or practitioners need to think about when taking a participatory approach to working with young people affected by sexual violence?
I think that lots of the issues that we have to think about aren't specific to working with young people affected by sexual violence. They may be the same as working with other marginalised or stigmatised groups, or even broader communities. But there are some things I think it's good for us to take into account. Specifically, I think it's important that we come to this work with some sort of understanding of the impact of sexual violence, both on individuals and at a wider societal level. Mm-hmm. I think that's particularly important if some of the stakeholders we're working with and trying to kind of foster participatory engagement with have themselves been at risk of or affected by these issues. And I think the biggest issue that springs to mind around that is about anonymity and stigma. Mm-hmm. and how young people want to, or it's appropriate to, represent them and their involvement. And so I think we have to think very, very carefully. We still live in a society where sexual violence is a very stigmatizing experience. Mm-hmm. and also a very difficult experience to talk about. We know that some people choose to and find it helpful to talk publicly about their own or others' experiences, whereas for others that can feel very not only difficult but also potentially damaging. So it's just being mindful of those things. I think, as with other things, it's about recognizing different young people's individual needs and supporting young people to make really informed choices about how they want themselves and their contributions to be represented. Mm-hmm. In the work that we do. And there's different ways of dealing with that. But I think it's just a kind of recognition that this is a very sensitive issue. The impact of sexual violence is diverse, but for many children, young people will be aligned to impacts associated with trauma. Mm-hmm. And that having an understanding of that is really helpful and important, I think, in terms of making sure the work is safe. I think it's also about thinking about those things when we bring, not necessarily when we're thinking about public representation, but we bring groups of young people together. And I'm a massive advocate of group work and think it can be done safely and appropriately around this issue. However, that's not to say that we shouldn't do it with some sort of awareness. Mm-hmm. Of the impact of being in a group, the impact of potentially sharing personal information in that group. And that groups can be enormous forces for kind of positiveness, developing a sense of self-efficacy, the sense that you can create change, enormous source of support. And I think there's a really important role for them, but it's not to say that we should go in there without an awareness. There are also risks to individuals, and group dynamics can be difficult as well, and problematic as well as helpful. Mm-hmm. And healthy. I think there's a broader issue which links to all the things we're talking about, which is around kind of safety. And some of that's about thinking about physical safety, you know, for depending on what we're talking about. There may be issues around where groups are held, the spaces in which they're held, how young people travel to those spaces, who knows about their involvement, and all those things we need to think about in terms of physical safety. But also kind of young people's emotional well-being and their psychological safety as well.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about whether the activities that we do may re-trigger difficult memories, those sorts of things. So I think it is about starting from a kind of understanding and then thinking these things through. And if we're not experts in that, that's fine. But there are people we can go out and talk to and ask for support and help and advice from. And I think we should never be too proud or overconfident to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think particularly if we're working with a group or a context that we haven't worked before, that's really, really important.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you very much, Camille, for your time today and for your insights. It's been really lovely listening to all your experiences and sharing some of your thoughts on this. Future podcasts will go into more details about some of the issues that you've raised. So hopefully we'll be developing our insights into those areas in future episodes. So thank you again, Camille. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.